happens to us every day. A moment, a choice. A thought not yet spoken.
Could I speak up?
Do I share what I'm seeing?
Would I speak up?
Do others see it too?
Should I speak up?
These moments, these choices, so to speak, to act, pile on top of themselves, and these moments become days and weeks and a lifetime of decisions. To speak or not to speak, and to act or not to act. And these moments, these choices, these lives all come together like rivers flowing into the ocean, forging a path chosen, a common history, a shared world, and it happens to us every day. Welcome to Steps to Value, a podcast that explores the intersection of people, processes, and technology in healthcare as the sector moves towards a value-focused model. I'm your host, Rod Pihowski, and in today's episode, we'll be talking with Christina Caraballo, Senior Healthcare Strategist at Get Real Health. Christina is also a 2017 member of the Most Influential Women in Health IT cohort. And in this conversation from HIMSS17, we talked about the power of starting change and the impact each of us can have on our world. All that and more coming up. In our mission to improve health through the best use of IT, HIMSS is committed to advancing the careers of high-performing professionals. Join us to address the gender gap in health IT with the HIMSS Women in Health IT Roundtable. Get involved through webinars, podcasts, new research, thought-provoking discussions, and special recognition of women who've made a difference sector-wide. Join at hims.org/influential-women. I'm here with Christina Caraballo, Senior Healthcare Strategist at Get Real Health. Christina, hello. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Rod. Thanks for having me today.
Well, you've been working with and studying health information technology policy for most of your career. Could you share with us some of your thinking on when health information technology policy best supports delivery innovation, and when is it actually kind of a challenge for innovation?
That's a great question. I think that striking that perfect balance between policy to foster innovation without stifling growth can be somewhat of a challenge. It really requires a true collaboration, information sharing, and open dialogue among multiple stakeholders. And I think we often get stuck in our bubble. So it becomes important to continue to join the larger conversation. That's really why I'm a big believer in inserting yourself in the middle of the conversation in order to change the status quo and make the most positive impact in the world. I would say that's why I love health IT policy. It's an area that I see as an opportunity to make the greatest impact on a really large scale to improve people's lives. Plus, I kind of think it's fun to read regulations, but I think it's even more fun to take a step back and look at how all of the moving parts can come together, identify gaps, and make bridges to close those gaps in healthcare. As policy is developed, I think it's important to look at what we're trying to solve as opposed to just simply checking regulatory boxes, which can become so easy to do. And as we move forward, when we think of people on the ground and people in Washington writing regulations, it's really about working in tandem. People on the ground and in their organizations and communities are really making change and diving into the weeds and solving real problems. And I think policy folks can take those success stories and failures and strive to bring them more to the masses. Now, when policy challenges innovation is when we get caught up in the details and we fail to really remember the big picture and future implications of what we're doing. When we think of policy as it relates to innovation, we have to challenge ourselves to not only think about the immediate need, but also how what we build today will impact our ability to grow and expand in the future and really meet use cases and needs that we don't even know exist.
So you alluded to policy evolving, and do you see that actually happening rapidly since we're moving away from an implementation kind of mindset and more toward now what do we do with the technology?
Yes, I think that we definitely are. I feel that we have learned from what we've done. When we think of the Meaningful Use Program as an example, and we think of the different stages, the first goal was to really lay the foundation, get the technology in place. And it's often criticized, the technology itself is often criticized because it was hard to do and it didn't show results right away. But that really wasn't the intention. If you look at the scale of the United States and implementing all of this infrastructure, that's a big challenge in and of itself. And we've done a tremendous job as a country really laying that foundation. I think now it's time to dive in and figure out how we take all of the work that we've done and start building upon it and getting more innovation within our organizations in the healthcare setting, and really take that next step in actually starting to bring back some of the regulations, I think, and think more creatively. I think that's what we're seeing in a lot of this shift towards value-based care. When you look at some of the new regulations with MACRA, it's less prescriptive and more of a goal-oriented approach, which I think can be a good thing. That will leave it up to us in the technology area to help guide provider organizations to best leverage technologies to support these growing needs and improve health.
And one of the pieces of that, too, you mentioned the value-based models. That all involves a lot of ensuring that the patient is centered, you know, that we have a patient-centered care model and we're all connected. Do you think the current regulatory and data infrastructure supports that goal? And are there examples of where that's happening? And if not, what kind of roadblocks are there?
Yeah, I do think that we certainly have the building blocks to support more of a connected patient-centered care model. And I think that we are on the cusp of supporting more of a robust ecosystem that enables this, but there are still some challenges. And I would really encourage us to think outside of the traditional hospital setting when we think of healthcare. We really need to embrace and support our potential super users that don't view patient engagement as a regulatory burden, but more as an opportunity to improve healthcare, really increase well-being and satisfaction, and reduce healthcare spending, which is a huge problem. And the groups I'm thinking about can include, but not limited to, like the long-term care facilities, like nursing homes and home health organizations, behavioral and mental health groups, research organizations, and disease-specific nonprofits. These are really the groups that I believe will go beyond patient engagement, simply meaning access to health information and provide the tools to make data come alive. And that's where we'll see some real change and real improvement. This is really where interoperability and access to clinical data becomes more important. These, I believe, are the groups that will take the clinical data as it becomes available and marry it with the patient-generated health data, such as social determinants, mood monitors, health journals, self-management action plans, the list goes on, to really show the possibilities of what we can do. We just really need to free the data. As you're aware, there are some roadblocks. I think the biggest challenge we face now is just undergoing this culture shift. We have had the last few years where providers are on the hook for patient actions. we're seeing a shift towards the outcome-based models of care and trying to figure out how technology plays a role in that. We need more guidance for consumers to understand what's available and what's not, so that they can start actually making educated decisions about where they go for their healthcare and how they want to engage with their providers, families, and their own health. We need more education and awareness for patients to feel more like they're included in part of, as part of the healthcare system, and really understand their rights and what's happening. And we really need to stop thinking of data as an access. We need to stop thinking of data as an asset owned by institutions and start realizing that my health data belongs to me and your health data belongs to you. And it really is in the ownership of the patient.
Well, let me ask a couple of questions about you. How did you get connected to the health IT sector? What's your origin story?
Well, I've always known I wanted to work in healthcare at some capacity. If you told me I was going to be in health IT when I was in high school, I probably would have laughed at you. But, you know, it's been a fun journey. I was working on my MBA with a focus in health, and I begrudgingly took a health IT class. To my surprise, I had that, wow, this is it moment. I saw health IT as a way that we could really make a difference in healthcare. And I really never looked back. I was working at the time for a small lobbying company in DC and had the opportunity and privilege of working with rare chronic disease groups. And I remember going into my office and telling my boss that we should start looking at using technology, health IT, for our organizations that we support. For clinical trials, I didn't know the possibilities to engage, all the things that I had no idea what the correct terms were, but I just saw it as an opportunity. And I was told that I was crazy and health IT was going to go away. And that's when I picked up the phone to GW and started doing some research and found a ONC graduate certificate program in health IT and just decided I was going to jump on this bandwagon and really just see what I could do in the industry.
Well, it's interesting that being told you're crazy is a motivator for you.
Yes.
Well, in the time that you've been doing this now, and you know, that's a great story. In the time that you've been doing this, how's your perspective on the environment for women in health IT changed? And what kind of challenges have you seen overcome, and what's still yet to be accomplished?
So, I'm constantly reminded about how amazing the people in this industry are, and that's both men and women. I love the fact that our hashtag in the women's community is Health IT Chicks. Pretty awesome. I've personally always inserted myself in what I want to do instead of what I'm quote-unquote supposed to do without much thought. I think back to fifth grade when my girlfriends pulled me aside and told me it really wasn't cool to beat the boys in arm wrestling. I didn't listen. I kept beating the boys. And that's kind of the way I look at coming into anything you want to do. Just find your path and go for it. I do recognize that there are gaps right now with, and HIMSS is doing a great job to try to close those gaps and get more women involved in health IT and rise up to leadership roles. And I think that we just need to continue to inspire other women to join the industry and be supportive. One of the biggest challenges I think we face, and I hate to be negative, but it's the truth, is other women. I will never forget the way I felt when a woman boss of mine told me to just go out and look cute and bring back contacts. At that point, I had a master's degree and I was doing really well in my job. And what I found is that for some reason, women can often feel threatened by one another. And it's really important to understand this and try to support one another. I do believe we are overcoming a lot of these challenges. I've personally find myself surrounded by a powerhouse of amazing women who bring out the best in one another. And you don't have to look far to find these women all over health IT and in the community. And it's just really teaming up with the people that are going to encourage you and make you feel better and really that have the same vision and mission and passion about what we can do with health information technology. I'd say they're all over the place and we're seeing more and more come up. And I love that health IT is really, the community is really showing leadership in embracing both men and women to encourage one another and work together.
Yeah, I think one of the interesting springboards for more women getting into this and even being in the positions they're in today comes from, for better or worse, the fact that a lot of nurses were traditionally women, and they were the ones that seemed to get really deeply involved in this and became the on-the-spot experts and the super users on these systems. And I think that was a really good thing.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. I actually can think of some of the women who are a little ahead of me in their careers, and many of them are nurses and definitely have that encouraging go change the environment attitude.
So you mentioned in your earlier answer about some advice that didn't sit well with you. Let's talk about mentors. Did you find a mentor who did give you some great advice, and what was that? And are you serving as a mentor, and what kind of advice do you share?
I've actually had the privilege of working with a lot of awesome people and mentors in the community. I remember first coming into HIMSS organization, and Mary G. from the Connected Health Group pulled me in and really encouraged me to become part of the larger conversation. After just meeting me a couple times at some events, and this was really a catapult in my career because she taught me to really insert myself in the middle of the conversation and learn from others, and I've just been doing that ever since. And really getting outside of the walls of my own office and listening and learning. So she was kind of one of the first people to come in and inspire me to spread my wings a little more. Some of the best advice, or the best advice I have gotten from a mentor, was actually my boss, Robin Weiner, who is Get Real Health CEO, and she told me one day to not worry about failing. She's always recognized that it's not a job to me, but a mission, and constantly teases me that I'm the cheerleader in the office. And that blind support and belief has really encouraged me to go out and figure out some of the biggest challenges we have in healthcare and not worry about success or failure, but just trying to make a difference. I'm actually a mentor with my local HIMSS chapter, and just, I feel like a mentor to younger people in my office as well. It just for those of us who just believe in mentoring and encouraging others, so I think we pick up people along the way, whether it's in a structured environment or not. And what I always tell people, and the best piece of advice that I have, is to continue to follow your heart, never stop daydreaming, believe in yourself, look at gaps to fill, and go out there and make a difference. So many people think that things are too hard or they can't make a difference, but I believe that if we start in a little corner of our world and just something as simple as making another person smile, you have made a difference. And if you constantly have that attitude, then it just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Well, you've got me smiling just listening to that. Thank you. We have one more question for you, Christina, and we ask all of our guests this. What's your favorite technological invention, and what do you think its impact has been on our culture? And it doesn't have to be in the healthcare sphere.
Well, this is an easy one for me, actually. I would have to say the smartphone. From a social perspective, I think it brings access to information to so many people that otherwise wouldn't have it, which is so valuable. From a personal aspect, I have to be honest, I don't know what I'd do without driving directions. I think back to how many times I called my dad getting lost going to school, and I'm very thankful for those directions on my phone.
They do come in handy.
Yes. Yeah. The constant rerouting now.
Right. But, you know, we could do that. We could say we do that with our lives, too.
Yes.
And at the pace of change in healthcare, we do it all the time. Well, that's all the time we have. I'd like to thank Christina Caraballo, Senior Healthcare Strategist at Get Real Health, for being our guest today. Christina, great conversation. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you, Rod. It was great to be here today.
Hey there, this is Christina Winters, Marketing Program Manager for HIMSS North America. I bring value to the HIMSS community by making sure that our members are aware of our educational and volunteer opportunities and our new and improved programs to help them continue to transform health through IT. You're listening to Steps to Value.
So, how have you started change in your little corner of the world? Send us your thoughts as a voice memo or an email, and we'll play it or read it on the air at the end of our next episode. You can send your comments to value@hims.org. We'd like to thank our guest, Christina Caraballo, for her incredible insights on the impact of health IT policy on innovation and the role we all play in changing the world we live in. For more information on everything discussed by today's guest, please visit this episode's landing page in the HIMSS Health IT Value Suite. Steps to Value is a HIMSS North America production. The series is co-produced by Adam Baser. Kelly Lippitt is story editor and guest relations manager, and I'm Rod Pihowski. See you next time on Steps to Value.